Welcome, everybody, to the Hammer and Rails podcast. With you, as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Casey Bartley.
And we are here with you tonight to talk about the upcoming game, Purdue versus Maryland. Purdue going to travel to Maryland to take on the Terrapins.
Currently, where are you going to be, Ledman,
for this game? I will be at the game.
Oh, my gosh. What's the weather like?
Well, it's literally rained the last 5 days here in Maryland.
That sounds like fun.
Supposedly, that's remnants of Hurricane Ian that came our way. However, for Thursday through, you know, the next week, there is no rain in the forecast. Saturday going to be a high of 59, according to current weather reports.
That is just on the edge of Nipply, Ledman.
Yeah, it could be a little chilly, but you know what? I will take that over 90 degrees at noon. Scorching heat.
Wait,
that could
really?
Make it a little difficult. Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, at a football game, because I can just take a sweatshirt and I'll be just fine.
90's not that hot.
It depends.
You should try living in the South.
Why would I ever want to do that?
It's pretty nice. Like, our sky is blue here.
I mean, I have blue sky.
You also have gray sky 80% of the time.
I don't live in London. Like, what
you
are you
live
or Seattle?
In a major metropolis. You live in a major metropolis. You have dirty air.
Okay, Herschel Walker.
I hate to say that. Wow, sir. Sir.
So, yes, it should be a lovely day for football. We're going to do that in the second half of the podcast. I put out a call on Twitter to see what everybody wanted us to talk about at the top, and I've got a couple I'm going to use. They're going to
be quick.
What
was the thing about a plane?
Plane? What?
Someone asked
who I wanted to know
was going to be on a plane.
Yeah. Someone wanted to know who you thought would be the U.S. World Cup prospects, but I don't think you have an earthly idea of who that would be. And I have no interest.
Uruguay.
That is not what he means by that question. He means what U.S. players, I believe.
What?
It doesn't matter.
U.S. players for what? I want to understand the question.
He wants to know who you think is going to make the World Cup team.
Of our players?
I assume.
Why would we ever have that information?
Dude, you're asking the wrong guy.
I barely can name countries.
You need to ask Robert.
These
Baker
are your people. You are reaching out to them.
That's fair enough. So there's one thing that I tweeted about earlier in the day that I wanted to ask you about, and then I wanted to get to a couple of those questions that people sent to us. So Jimbo Fisher, the information on his buyout came out today.
How high?
So if they fire him this year, keep in mind, Nebraska just paid Scott Frost
$25 million. What?
Remember, it was $7 million a week.
Oh, I didn't know a week. That was not how you explained it to me.
Well, hold on. Let me make sure I'm not making that up.
I thought it would cut in half. I thought they waited 3 weeks. If they would have waited 3 weeks, they would have saved $7 million.
Oh, no. Yeah. You're right. It was $15 million. It was $15 million. But if they would have waited, it would have went down to $7.5 million. You are correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So, whew. I know. I was way off there. Thank you for calling me on my bullshit.
You're welcome.
So, if he were to be fired in 2022, give me a guess of what you think his buyout is. And keep in mind, it is outrageous.
This is Texas A&M, correct?
Yes.
How many years on the contract?
I don't have the number of years on the contract.
I think it was a lot.
But the buyout...
$40 million.
Well, they have the... before you do... The buyout numbers decrease, I know, but I'm going to give you a little more information. They decrease every year starting in 2022 and goes all the way to 2031.
That's nine years.
He's got a lot of years.
$80 million?
You are pretty damn close. $85,950,000 if they
fire him now?
To fire him right now.
Are we asking this question? How are they doing?
I honestly don't even know.
So why is this a question? Just because it came out?
Yeah, I think just because it came out and people are like, that is the most ridiculous buyout I've ever seen.
I'm trying to imagine they're 3-2. They just lost to Mississippi State. So that's probably good.
And they dropped out of the top 25.
That's probably good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of how hard would I work to get fired?
Well, I put this out on Twitter and somebody was like, JT Schroeder on Twitter responded to me, if there's this kind of money to go away, what is his motivation for winning?
Yeah, I would not hustle.
No.
I would not hustle at all.
You're telling me I can get fired, make almost
generational
wealth. $1 million.
Generational wealth to get fired.
To not work for the next 10 years.
I would put in 40 hours of work.
I wouldn't put in 40 hours.
No, I would. Out of dignity. Out of dignity, I would put in 40 hours. And if it was the third quarter with 3:21 left and my 40 hours went up, I would clock out.
I'd pull a Ted Lasso and run off the sidelines acting like I've got food poisoning.
Got the poops.
Just sit in the locker room for the last hour of the game. I mean,
that's an absurd. All right.
So here's the
people think players shouldn't get paid.
Right. Yeah. Players shouldn't get paid because it would change. It would professionalize the game. So it goes. I'm just going to go year by year. 85-9, 76-8, 67-5, 58-2, 48-7, 39-2, 29-5, 19.8, 9.9, and then in 2031, should they fire him on this contract, the buyout is nothing.
Isn't there a point where there's an incentive money-wise to get fired? How much is he getting paid a year?
It's more than that? I can't, is that his contract?
That's got to be. Net worth is only $13 billion. He needs to get fired.
Do you mean million? Because if it's billion, he's got...
Million, sorry. Sorry, yeah.
It's, I mean, oh boy, I don't know who negotiated this contract, but his agent is not getting enough money, and the AD at Texas A&M should absolutely be embarrassed.
That's wild. That's a lot of money, especially for a guy named Jimbo.
It looks like in 2022, he is making approximately $8.5 million.
That's less than if he got fired.
Yeah.
He literally has an incentive to get fired.
Yeah. So there you go. Just absolutely crazy. So now to the Twitter questions. A couple of people asked about Jaden Ivey's NBA preseason debut, but I don't believe either of us actually watched any of it. We saw some highlights, saw some dunks, so I don't think we can come up with a real good take on
it. I love Jaden Ivey. I love basketball. I am not watching preseason NBA. Revisit this question when the NBA season starts, and I will happily watch his first game. I don't care about the preseason.
Yeah, me either. No one cares about the preseason. And just about any sport is absolute trash, and I don't pay attention.
Save your curiosity for something better.
Yeah, yeah. So this one I thought was interesting. What do you think is the best regional type of pizza? So Chicago pizza, Detroit pizza, Connecticut pizza?
I've never had Connecticut pizza. Is that like wafer thin?
It's pretty thin, yeah.
I am a big fan of... what is it? Nepal? Naples? There's a certain kind of thin crust...
Neapolitan?
Neapolitan. That's
basically similar to Connecticut style. Okay.
I'm a pretty big fan of that, but straight up New York City slice of pizza.
Yeah, not a bad choice.
It's just Chicago pizza is good, but it's effort. Yeah, you have to really be sat down, tucked in. I want pizza that I can grab on the go, throw a little chili pepper on it, walk away, get to my next destination while I'm eating this delicious pizza. Hands down.
I think in general I would go, I mean, I think Chicago pizza is the best because I rarely get it. So it's one of those, it probably has more real estate in my mind just because I don't have it as often. But it is delicious. But you are right. You have to it's an ordeal to sit down and eat a Chicago pizza.
Also expensive.
Very expensive. But again, since it's not something I eat very often, it's definitely worth the price. I am partial to Detroit-style pizza, though.
Underrated.
Very good. Like I said on the podcast before, I've got family in Michigan, and so in the past when we've been up there, you know, we've had some of that style pizza, and it is quite good.
I've never had Sicilian pizza that, like, blew my mind away, but I think the floor is higher on a Sicilian slice. I think even bad Sicilian pizza is better than bad other pizza.
I guess I don't really know how to characterize Sicilian pizza. I'm looking at it now.
Chicago deep dish is like high ceiling, highest of the ceiling. You can do way more with it, but it's also more complicated. All the other issues. NYC is just dependable and delicious.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something more about Sicilian pizza.
I said what I said. Okay. The floor is very high.
Yeah.
It's not the most conducive to toppings.
True.
So it just kind of limits how great it can be.
And I do love a good New York slice of pizza, just especially when you're just walking around New York, because there's, you know, a million things to do. So if you ever visit, you're generally always on the go, but you can always find a pretty decent slice of pizza and you can just get it for a couple bucks and walk out the door. So
when it's slightly cold and like you have a warm pizza in your hand. Oh,
yeah,
so good.
That's a good feeling. So really, again, though, no bad pizza in my opinion. It's hard to have a bad slice of pizza.
That's true. I thought you were going to ask me about Halloween. I even grabbed a couple pictures just in case.
Oh, we talk about your favorite Halloween costume. Mm-hmm. What are we thinking here? Okay, let's hear it.
I was Kanye West for Halloween. Like,
oh,
I think this
was
2009.
Please don't tell me there was any.
No.
Okay.
Come on.
Woo! I thought we were about to have to end the podcast.
I colored my hair and I carved Kanye into it.
Okay.
And I put on a fake goatee and I wore the stunner shades and stuff.
Did you buy yourself some Yeezys?
I did not buy Yeezys. I don't know if Yeezys were a thing. This was 2009, Lynn.
Oh yeah, they didn't. 2009. Then.
What happened was we ended up at a house party.
And Kanye West was there.
Kanye West was there, and there was a Taylor Swift lady there, and I just constantly interrupted her conversations.
Oh, Casey.
No, I just said Beyonce deserved this, not you.
All right. I hope.
And I only did it once.
Yeah, okay.
Probably five
I hope
times.
The person was fine with it.
That was hilarious. Are
I'm
you kidding
sure.
me?
Because I mean,
what a good bit.
That was only like a month after that happened, so.
Correct.
It was probably very fresh in everyone's mind.
I'm sending you two pictures now.
Oh,
and this
God.
Was back in the day before, you know, like cell phone cameras or a thing. So these are
digital
some pictures.
Camera.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I must have dressed up twice because two different outfits.
And
yes.
You're carrying a microphone, too. Just fantastic.
It's good
yeah,
work
that's
by
not
me.
Bad. That's not bad. It's not bad. Yeah, that's pretty good. I'll give you that. So I think that'll do it for this part of the podcast. We're going to take a break. Come back and give you all you need to know about Maryland and give you our predictions. And we are back. So, as promised, we're going to talk about Purdue's upcoming game against Maryland here in my home state, taking on the Terrapins. My old college roommate, high school buddy, middle school buddy even, is flying in, and him and I are going to go to the game on Saturday.
What up, Chartreuse?
I don't even know what that was supposed to be. So it's going to be real exciting. Noon kickoff. That's unfortunate. We were hoping for 3:30 or a little bit later. So we could have more time roaming around, maybe doing some tailgating, but, no such
luck.
You
can party afterwards, right?
Yeah, but it's not the same. Especially, you know, when you're before the game, you've got the anticipation, anything could happen. And
what time are you guys going to get there?
I don't know. But I mean, 10? if you walk out with a loss, you're kind of like, you're a little bit down. You're like, oh, that kind of sucked. Especially the last time Purdue played at Maryland, they allowed 50 points and I think lost 50 to 7.
Yeah.
Travis and I were at that game, and
that's a lot of bad mojo put together.
That was. Now we'll see if Travis listens. That was not a good game to be at. It was sprinkling rain the entire time. What an awful game! I think Maryland ran for roughly 400 yards, and it was a nightmare. So hopefully we get a better effort out of Purdue this time.
But they're not going to run all over us. I promise that.
Well, let's hope. Yeah. It's the other thing. So Maryland right now 4-1 overall, 1-1 in the conference.
How's the Maryland football stadium? How's the experience?
I mean, it's not bad. It's kind of nondescript. Maryland is definitely.
Sense.
I mean, they definitely care more
okay,
about
let's,
basketball.
Let's
than
Let's
football.
Break it down. We're gonna use a scale of 1 to 5. We're gonna rate the experience. Overall, let's start overall amenities of the stadium itself.
I mean, it was pretty. I don't even know if they've done renovation. No, they had just normal like urinals,
okay.
Normal urinals, so not a trough. At least in the bathroom I went to, that you know, there may be others throughout the stadium, kind of like at Ross Aid. You know, there's a couple that are troughs still, but
it
depends
enough,
on which one you go to.
Are there like enough food vendors? They sell beer.
I don't drink beer, so that they I don't think they did at that time. But again,
so
I'm not the person to ask.
Okay, so incomplete 2.5.
Incomplete. I would say.
I'm starting to believe you haven't been to a game.
I know. Listen, here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Went to one game and I struggled with
Hold
the parking.
On. You went with Travis, right? Were you
well,
sitting
yeah.
with Travis?
No, because he had bought tickets before and we bought tickets after. Because
if there was beer,
I.
he definitely found beer.
True.
Do you remember him holding beer while you talked to him?
No, because we met up for lunch before the game.
You guys didn't
even
meet up at halftime or nothing?
It was
because
so
you guys see each other all the time, you know?
No, right. I don't think so. It was just, it was miserable all around.
I'm going to rate your guys' relationship with 1 out of 5. So, how's the tailgating?
No, you're not even listening.
You didn't go to tailgating?
No, because we went to lunch, and then literally by the time we got there, after sitting in traffic and their terrible parking situation that we ran into.
Okay, so bad parking.
Bad parking.
Okay.
Bad parking.
That is important. Like West Lafayette, pretty good for parking.
Yeah, not bad.
Not great.
Not bad.
But not terrible.
But, I mean...
So you have no idea. This is your first game.
Basically. Basically.
No kid, right?
I mean, the
stadium... No kid?
No.
No wife?
Not taking the kid. No wife. It's just the roommate and I. Old college roommate and I.
You guys better wake up at like 7 and get out there. I want keg stand video by 9 a.m.
Yeah, you're gonna, maybe him. He is a beer drinker. I'm not. So you're not going to
this
get
really
a keg
does
stand
screw
video
up your vibe.
It's, what do you mean?
It's like you can't just casually celebrate with people because if all they have to offer is beer.
I mean, look, I've done a keg stand or two in my life, but I've not enjoyed it because beer
I don't think
is,
anyone
is,
enjoys it. Like
it's
not like this I hate doing handstands, but this Bud Light coming out of the draft
that really,
made it worth it for
really
me.
Helping
I
here,
really
yeah.
love Bud Light. No one that's you are that is the one spot where you drinking beer is the same as people who like drinking beer.
That's so. probably true. Yeah, you're not exactly getting the high quality stuff in the kegs where you're doing keg stands.
So you're bringing a flask, like a flask of rum.
You're asking a lot of questions that I'm not prepared
I just
want to
know. I just want to know what kind of day you're going to have.
I don't know. Look,
I want you to think of this now so you can have a lot to report next week.
Next podcast. Listen, I'm picking my buddy up at the airport tomorrow. He's flying in tomorrow night.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Tomorrow's Thursday, so you got to hold 2 days together and well, then
he,
party.
Yeah, he hasn't been out to the East Coast since like – he said like eighth grade when they went for middle school to like the trip to D.C. that a lot of kids in Indiana take.
Okay.
So he's going to spend the day in D.C. on Friday and then we go into the game on Saturday.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
We can talk football now, I guess.
Yeah, that's fine. So like I said, 4-1, Maryland 4-1 on the season, 1-1 in conference. If you look at kind of the team stats overall, Purdue and Maryland not that far off from each other. Purdue points per game, 32.8. Maryland, 35. Points allowed, Purdue, 20.6. Maryland, 21. Total yards, Purdue, 429. Maryland, 476. Yards allowed, Purdue, 316. Maryland, 392. So not a whole lot of difference between the two there. So it seems like it could be an evenly matched game. Casey, is there anything that stands out to you that gives either Purdue or Maryland a big advantage?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think that is?
Tagovailoa and his receivers.
Yeah.
Combine that with in general, he's very good. I believe his completion percentage is right around 75%.
Right around 75. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good because you know the one thing that has stopped opposing passing offenses so far this season
is themselves.
Yeah. He's not going to miss those throws, so that worries me. And then the combination of Maryland is a really good defensive team against the pass. 15th best in opponent yards per pass allowed, and that's despite teams are throwing on them a lot. 42 pass attempts a game, and they are only giving up 252 yards. So they haven't forced many turnovers, and they haven't got a bunch of sacks. So in theory, it's weird that they've been so good against the pass. Could you count some of that up to who they've played? Absolutely. So AOC will have chances, but I am really worried about our secondary.
Yeah.
Because Maryland is not just a team with like one star. It's a lot easier to make a defense where you're bracketing a receiver and that's your concern. But he's got Jashawn Jones, 19 catches, 253, 2 TDs. Corey Dyches, tight end. 18 catches, 216 yards. Rakeem Jarrett, wide receiver, 20 catches, 249. And I mean, his backup tight end has 13 catches, 148 yards. His running back has 137 out of the backfield.
They do a really good job spreading the ball around.
They spread the ball around. And these are not dink and dunk passes.
Their
shortest yards per catch is 8.5.
So
that's their backup running back.
Yeah, to go to that, it looks like throughout this year, Maryland has had 64 passing plays that have covered 20 or more yards.
That's absurd.
That is a lot, but it's interesting because as much as you and I are worried about the Purdue secondary, the Purdue defense has only given up 20 such plays of 20 plus yards this year. So it's interesting because, I mean, you have to ask how much of that is the opposing offense making mistakes, overthrowing, you know, not having the greatest quarterbacks we've faced, and how much of that is actually Purdue's secondary might be better than you and I give it credit for.
I'm going to go mostly the other thing.
Okay.
Once again, we are on a stretch of playing quarterbacks that complete balls near about 50% of the time, not accurate deep passers. We definitely haven't played a juggernaut offense. And what worries me is where our defense has struggled is late in games when teams are forced to spread out and pass. We have not been able to get a consistent pressure, stay on receivers. When teams have to throw, and we know they're throwing, and they spread it out wide, and they go aggressive, and they go to make plays, they make plays. That's how Maryland plays offense the entire game, and they're good at it.
Yeah, and their offensive line is old. They've got three redshirt seniors, a transfer senior, and a redshirt sophomore.
Very good offensive line.
As a team, as you said, we've kind of struggled at times getting pressure up front, getting in the backfield. We've had some success via scheming and a blitz every now and then. I think we've done better there than we would have guessed in the offseason. But with a very talented offensive line, it's going to make it very difficult for Purdue to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, and we're going to need to make plays that way because even Minnesota, there were plenty of options. They gave us three interceptions. And I'm just worried because I think this is the best quarterback that we've played all season. Probably will be the best quarterback we play all season. And there are just weapons everywhere. And when you're playing an offense that versatile in just the passing game, and they've ran the ball decently too. But when you're playing a team like that, it's really hard to make up for any deficiencies because you don't know where they're attacking.
Right, right. Like as you said, you know, you can't bracket one guy and say, well, this other guy really can't beat us. He's not extremely talented because they do have multiple receivers who are very, very good. You know, four guys over 200 yards.
And last game, you know, we definitely play with two deep safeties. And I would imagine that's going to have to continue. How much do we have to sacrifice in terms of run game and underneath stuff? Because the other problem with an accurate passer, all of a sudden, if you are playing to take away the big shots, how do you beat that? It's by making your short passes something AOC is really good at. They're capable of doing that as well. So I am very concerned, mostly because our offense still hasn't looked good or in sync. And this, to me, just seems, and tell me if you disagree, it's going to be a blowout, it's going to be a shootout if it's a close game. Either way. If this is a competitive game, I think it will be in the 30s or higher.
Yeah, I could see that because it depends on if AOC comes into the game healthy and if he is making his throws.
I'm saying if it's close, it's close because both offenses are working.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's
right. If one offense doesn't work, and I would point towards ours most likely not working.
Yeah, if I had to choose,
it's going
to
be ugly.
Ours. Yeah.
I just don't see this game as being a slog game at all.
No,
I think it will either be a stomp by one team, most likely the home team, or it will be a shootout. And at that point, it kind of just becomes
it's almost who's
one
got
or
the
two
ball
plays.
Last.
Yeah, one or two plays.
Yeah.
Do you get a deflection interception? Do you, you know, a big play late or just have the ball? I think it's 50-50 one way or the other. And
One thing I will note about the Maryland defense, they've not been very good at generating turnovers. They have just two interceptions on the season. They've forced four fumbles but only recovered two. So in five games, they've only got four turnovers generated. So
and just a sack percentage of 4.5%.
Yeah,
it's 93rd worst than
that. That does give me hope on what this Purdue offense can do, especially, as I said, if AOC comes back fully healthy. And I know Charlie Jones, it was mentioned earlier in the week, I think that he had some a nick here and there, but he should be fine to go for the game. But Purdue would be in some real trouble without him. Now, as far as other injuries go, there is real hope that Jalen Graham will be able to come back for this game for Purdue.
That'd
obviously,
be big.
Remember, he had that tibial injury, and he's now missed four games, which when he went out, they said 3 to 4 games he could be out. So let us hope that he comes back for this game because he would be a great addition as someone who can play all over the field, a lot of speed, and can really hit some people, really wrap some people up, really good tackler. So Purdue really needs him to come back for this game. It could make a huge difference. And at his press conference earlier in the week, Brohm sounded very positive that Jalen Graham would be able to get back on the field for Purdue.
Yeah, and that's huge because he's someone that can help flip the numbers. You can still play light in the box with him, and you can still cover with him, and he can kind of be that hybrid between a defensive back and a linebacker. You're not terrified if he gets, you know, slotted onto a slot receiver.
Yeah.
You're not, you're still going to get some run stops if he's in there and you only have two other linebackers. So
yeah, he's not definitely important for a game like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you are absolutely right. I think this game, looking at the rest of Purdue's schedule, might be the scariest one left. I mean, obviously Wisconsin is always scary. But something is wrong in Wisconsin. I don't know what it is, but it's not the Wisconsin that we expected as the season started. Maybe firing Paul Chryst will help them turn it around. Maybe it'll just force them deeper into the hole. But this is a game I don't think that Purdue can take lightly. You know, you saw, if anybody saw the celebration in the Purdue locker room after they defeated Minnesota, Jeff Brohm was saying, you know, something along the lines of, now next week you have to be just as hungry after you get beat. You know, we have to remember the feeling. We got beat last week. We came into this game. No one thought we could win, and we won. Now next week we got to bring the same energy, and I really hope Purdue can bring that same energy that they brought to Wisconsin.
There's only 12 games. Every game matters.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I mean, this is a game, if Purdue truly does want to win the Big Ten West, if they want a chance to win the Big Ten West, it's games like this that they need to win, where it seems like it's a pretty even matchup between the two teams. And it should make for one hell of a game.
I mean, there is always the fear that we're overlooking them to take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers next week.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's always looking ahead to Nebraska, so there's a real fear there. But I think the team is going to be focused on Maryland. I hope we get everyone back healthy and we can truly see what this team is capable of. They have played well on the road under Jeff Brohm. We did really well last year in the Big Ten on the road. Won obviously last week in Minnesota for the first time since, I believe, 2007. So going on the road here to Maryland could make for an interesting test. But I think Purdue can win this game.
Mine's so,
I know. All right, Casey, you want to make a prediction?
Yeah. I just don't trust it. I think Maryland's going to find some openings, and it's going to be 42-28.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, I figured, but the way you said that, man, you got us down by two touchdowns here.
Hey, all it right. worked for me last time.
It did.
I've been wrong. I've been writing an odds post. Every time I pick here, I've pretty much gone over all year. So
yeah, there's a reason you don't actually gamble. You'd be very bad at it.
It's true. The state doesn't allow me.
Yeah. My state doesn't allow me unless I go into a casino.
Of course.
So I'm really waiting for that online gambling to kick in that they've promised me for over a year now. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Shout out DraftKings.
Yeah, that's right. So I am going to go ahead and I'm going to go on a limb. I know it's going to be a close game, but the stats show that these teams are roughly even. I think Purdue is going to have Jalen Graham back. Cam Allen's back and healthy. I think Purdue is going to pull out another game on the road. I am going to go 35-31. Purdue is going to walk away with a victory.
I like it. Where are you going to celebrate afterward? Going to get a donut?
Yeah. Well, there is a donut shop that is supposed to be opening down the road for me.
Oh.
And that's like literally less than a mile. And they put up a sign like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that it's going to be opening soon. And there's been nothing. And it's just, for a guy who loves donuts as much as I love donuts, it's heartbreaking to just see that sign every day. Because I run by it all the time.
Wow.
And they're just nothing. They're just letting me down week after week.
Mister, I run by it all the time.
I do. I run by it so I can get the donuts. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they're just not giving me any donuts.
One of these days.
Yeah. So do you want to make a prediction on Charlie Jones once again this week?
Oh, yeah, I do.
What do you got?
Big bounce back game.
Okay.
I think Purdue is going to be forced to be aggressive. I don't think Maryland's defense is very good. As we discussed, I think AOC is going to have some time for those deeper routes. And I think Charlie Jones is going to go 11 for 174.
Any touchdowns?
Three touchdowns.
Oh, my. So you're basically saying Charlie Jones is the offense for Purdue against Maryland.
Have you not watched us?
Well, you may. I mean, Payne Durham gets in the end zone every now and then. We found a bit of a running game last week.
Payne Durham.
Your point is well
underwhelming.
Taken. Yeah, he, as we said all last season, he can have great games where he catches the ball, or he just has the drops. So you just never know. I too think Charlie Jones is going to have a great game. I don't think I'm going as good as you there. I'm going to go 9 catches, 120 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
We should mention he's on the watch list.
He is.
Bolivnikov?
Yeah.
That was close. I think forgot some letters, but
probably.
Fine.
Probably. For the best wide receiver in the country, he's on the watch list, so got to pay attention to that.
I'm watching.
It'd be great for a Purdue player to win that. Really great for recruiting, especially as he's a guy who had so much of his career wasted at Iowa. And
thanks,
their
parents.
Their inept offensive coordinator. So really rooting for him there. But, Casey, anything else you want to say about this Maryland game before we sign off for the night?
I hope I'm wrong, and I hope finally your curse can be lifted.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too.
Just
hopefully... Hopefully I'll have much to report from in the stadium when we record next week.
I need you to get this off you now because there's going to be some Purdue games in your vicinity as well this year.
Yeah, that's true.
That I will try to convince you to go to, but at some point we got to like find a shaman or...
Look, I went to the Maryland. I went to the Purdue Michigan State football game last year when we won, and that was a win over a top five team.
And what has happened since then?
I went to the NCAA tournament game and it didn't work out, but that was one game.
Once in a lifetime upset.
Yeah, I know. It was fun to watch for sure. Thank you for ending the podcast on a down note. Just remember, folks, crab cakes and football. That's what Maryland does.
Oh, ooh, we'll see will there be crab cake at, there's gotta be tailgating crab cake, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Ledman, you guys got to go about 9 o'clock. I need a picture of you eating a crab cake. Somewhere there's got to be Purdue fans
who've embraced
the Maryland lifestyle, and they'll be crab cake. Tell them that you write for Hammer and Rails.
Maybe I'll put out a call on
Twitter.
Tell
them you're in a podcast.
Yeah, everybody loves a good podcaster.
Hey,
maybe I'll put out a call on Twitter to see if there's any Purdue fans tailgating. We can bring some booze for you.
There you go. We were some popular guys at the last game
before,
we went to.
Yeah, before the NCAA tournament, we met some good fans. So yeah. We'll see if we can do the same before this Maryland game. So much better note to end on there. So, again, crab cakes and football. That's Maryland, folks.
Boiler up.